Behind him, a couple of smoldering logs sent a thin stream of gray smoke and an occasional spark up the chimney.
"The warrant came down from the governor today," Gidry spoke hesitantly. "It happens second Friday after Easter."
Inez came into the room with two cups of coffee on a silver tray. Pacho added sugar and milk to one cup and removed it from the tray. The sheriff rested his hat on one knee as he took the other cup from the tray. He added sugar, stirring slowly.
"I want things to go on as they have. Don't cause trouble for him." The sheriff looked at me. "When I left him, he was calm. He seemed to understand. I want to keep it that way. Any questions?"
Reverend Ambrose and I exchanged glances, but neither of us had a question now.
"What about her?" Gidry asked. "The wife said she might need a doctor."
"That's mighty kindly," Reverend Ambrose said. "My thanks to Miss Edna."
"I'll send Dr. Guillory when I get back to town," the sheriff said. "Any other questions?" "I want us to have an understanding."
"Why that date?" I asked. Gidry drank from his cup and looked over the rim at me. He did not like me. I was one of the smart ones. He and Pacho exchanged glances. I could tell that they had been talking about it before Reverend Ambrose and I came into the room. Pacho left the explanation up to the sheriff.
"Easter," he said.
He did not want to go on, but he felt he should. After all, a man was going to be put to death.
"It had to be before or after Easter. It couldn't happen during Lent."
I would learn later from the young deputy that the governor had originally signed an execution order to be carried out 2 weeks before Ash Wednesday, but one of his aides pointed out that another execution was scheduled during that time, and because of our state's heavily Catholic population, it might not go well to have two executions just before the beginning of Lent. "Can we still visit him like we've been doing?" I asked.
"Sure," the sheriff said, "but just remember, keep it down. I don't want you aggravating him. He's got just over a month, April 8th.
"April 8th, I said to no one. "April 8th.
"Friday, April 8th, between noon and 3,
the sheriff said. "Between noon and 3, I said to no one.
"Well, if there ain't no more questions, I'll have to get on back to town," Gidry said.
He finished his coffee and set the cup and saucer on a lamp table.
"You won't forget the doctor, Sheriff?"
Reverend Ambrose asked.
"You think she'll need him?"
"She ain't been too well lately," the Reverend said.
"I'll call him from here," Gidry said. "Can he drive down the quarter?"
"It's passable," Pacho said. "I went down there yesterday."
The sheriff went to the telephone table and made his call to Bayonne. I could hear only part of what he was saying, because I could not get that date and time out of my mind. How do people come up with a date and a time to take life from another man? Who made them God?
"Audrey, let me speak to Sid,"
Gidry was saying over the telephone. 12 white men say a black man must die, and another white man sets the date and time without consulting one black person. Justice?
"The old woman," the sheriff was saying to the doctor. "I think she is the one who attended the trial. Worked for the family."
"His nannin," Reverend Ambrose said weakly.
The sheriff did not hear the minister.
"Yes, it's passable, Sid. You won't get your brown and white shoes dirty."
"They sentence you to death because you were at the wrong place at the wrong time, with no proof that you had anything at all to do with the crime other than being there when it happened. Yet 6 months later they come and unlock your cage and tell you, we, us, white folks all, have decided it's time for you to die, because this is the convenient date and time."
"Oh, she's all right, and how's Lucy?" the sheriff asked the doctor about his wife.
"And on Friday, too. Always on Friday. Same time as he died, between 12 and 3. But they can't take this one's life too soon after the recognition of his death, because it might upset the sensitive few. It can happen less than 2 weeks later, though, because even the sensitive few will have forgotten about their savior's death by then."
"Give Lucy my love," Gidry said. "I owe you one."
The sheriff hung up the telephone and turned to us.
He's on his way, and I have to head on back myself. No other questions?
We had no more questions.
Thank y'all for coming, Pacho said.
But he was not thanking us for gracing his home with our presence so much as he was telling us that it was time to leave. Reverend Ambrose and I got up from the couch and went back into the kitchen. Inez looked at us, crying.
We must all show courage for Sister Emma's sake,
Reverend Ambrose said to her. Inez raised the end of her apron and wiped her eyes.
You drove?
Reverend Ambrose asked me. I walked.
Well, you can ride back down the quarter with me, he said.
I'm not going back down there right now, I said. I'm not going back down there and tell her he's going to die April 8th. Not me.
You'd have the strength if you had God, Reverend Ambrose said.
That's where you come in, Reverend, I said. I'm going for a walk, a long walk in the opposite direction. Excuse me. I went across the backyard out to the road, and I turned left and walked over to the highway and down to the river. The river still ran high from all the rain we had had in the past couple of months, and from the water that drained into it from the bayous and fields. I walked in the ankle-high grass a safe distance from where the water flowed upon the bank, until I found a good place to stop. I could see the houses and trees on the other bank, and the cars moving on the road behind them. I tried wiping that away. I wanted to see nothing but miles and miles of clear blue water, then an island where I could be alone, or Vivian and me, just the two of us, and absolutely no one else. No one else. But the river remained the same, high and muddy, and I started walking again. When I could go no farther without getting my feet wet, I went up the bank and walked alongside the road. I must have gone 3 or 4 miles before turning back. I figured that by now the minister and my aunt had seen Miss Emma, and the doctor had probably visited her, and other women in the quarter had gone to look after her too. It was near dark when I reached the quarter, and I went back to the church to get my satchel. Irene had collected all the papers and stacked them neatly on the table, and had left me a note saying that the children had been orderly. I stuffed the note in the papers inside my satchel and left the church.